God is so good. Hallelujah. I have spent the day marinating in God and in His Word today. So it's going to be good. Hallelujah. I'm prepared. Are you? You prepared to receive? You prepared to act on what you're about to get? And I'm glad to see that our kids are with us tonight. Glory to God. We normally have two with us, but we have more because, praise the Lord. How many know that the gospel is for every age? You know, there's not an age limit. There's not a racial barrier to the gospel. There's not a socioeconomic barrier to the gospel. It applies to everything. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Exodus chapter 35. I'm just going to share something briefly with you here. Then we're going to get into our message. In Exodus 35, verse 4, Moses had the congregation. He spoke unto all the congregation of the children of Israel. So they had church. This is called the wilderness church. All right, because Moses was the pastor and he was speaking to a congregation. And he said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Say, the Lord commanded. How many know that we have to obey His commands? All right. Well, what did the Lord command Moses to tell the people? He said, He commanded them, saying, take from you an offering unto the Lord. Imagine how the Lord commanded to take up an offering. He said, whosoever is of a willing heart. This message is only for those that have a willing heart. Amen. And let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass, blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skin dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. So they took up an offering for, at that time, they had a tent. And that tent was called the tabernacle. And everything that that tabernacle needed came from who? Came from the people. It was stuff that they had. And it was stuff that they got from Egypt. And it was stuff that they plundered the Egyptians in one night. When God said, go ask your master if you can borrow his stuff. How'd you like to, if the Lord spoke to you and say, go to your boss and say, I want to borrow this and that, you know, and he just gives it to you, or she just gives it to you. You know, that'd be pretty awesome. And then when you walk out, they say, why did that happen? And so they brought all this stuff, and everything that was needed for the operation of the tabernacle. And we know that they brought so much stuff that Moses had to say, okay, quit giving, you know, because you got too much stuff. I have yet to see that happen, but I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. So if you're of a willing heart tonight and you have an offering that you'd like to bring, I would encourage you to bring it because we have a lot to be thankful for. The Lord is doing good. And what does your offering do? It helps the word continue to go forth. Amen. And lives are being changed here. My pastor in Illinois said it best. He said, the gospel is free, but the pipeline costs money. Amen. So if you have an offering that you'd like to bring tonight, go ahead and just plant it in there, and the Lord will bless you. Father, we just thank you for your graciousness, and you have enabled us, Father, by giving us strength and giving us the ability to work, Lord, and to earn money. You have given us a way for income to come to us. And Lord, we just bring a portion of that back to you. We bring that which is yours, Father, to you. And we bring above and beyond that. And we just thank you, Lord, that everyone involved in that is blessed. And we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Well, have you paid your electric bill? You know, here we have PP&L or maybe another electric company. But I want to talk to you tonight about God's powerhouse. Did you know that God's got a powerhouse? He's got a way for you to have power given to you so that, and guess what? God doesn't charge anything for his power. So I want to talk to you tonight about the Holy Spirit, God's powerhouse. Say powerhouse. You know, when I think of a powerhouse, I think of something that generates electric power. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is greater than nuclear power? It created this world, the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, this is God's powerhouse, his Holy Spirit. If you turn to Psalm 62, and of course we will look at a lot of scriptures tonight, but I really want you just to get the power, amen? You know, with power, with natural power, we can do so many things. We can cook our food. We can warm or cool our homes. We can wash our clothes. We can illuminate the place. We can do all kinds of things with power. Amen? And the same thing is true with God's power. There's so many things that his power enables us to do. Psalm 62, verse 11, it says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Say, power belongs to God. All right, he is the author of power. And no matter what power a person operates on this earth, all power comes from God. He is the power source. If there was no God, there would be no power. All right? We would be living in the Stone Ages. And that word power, it means strength or force or security. It also can mean boldness, loud. You know, when I get louder when I talk, it's because power is coming on me. When my Aunt Susan, when she first heard me preach in Illinois, she couldn't believe that that was her nephew because I was always soft-spoken. But when she heard me preach and the power comes on me, I get loud. You know, because when you get that burst of power, whoo, it's got to be expressed. And sometimes the power is expressed with loudness. And Micah chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, but just bring it up on the screen. Micah chapter 3, verse 9. It says, but truly I am full of power of the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin. Aren't you glad that I'm not a dead preacher? I am so glad. Do you know, I grew up in a dead church. Every time I went to church, I'd fall asleep because it was dead. And then when I was 12 years old, the power got a hold of me. And that power so impacted my life that it made me from being shy, it changed me from being shy into being able to stand in front of people and tell them about the Lord. I mean, I was shy. When I was Solomon's age, I was shy. I'd hide from people. And the Lord took that shyness, and he added his power to it, and he gave me the ability to stand before people to do something I never thought I had the ability to do. And so Micah said he was full of power or might to declare. Go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. I'm kind of doing a little different twist on the Holy Spirit, but we are going to get to how you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'm giving you kind of a little, I'm telling you what he can, it's like if I have a car, I'm telling you what this car can do so that When you understand what it can do, you want to have it. Amen? When you understand what the power can do, you want it. Okay? That's kind of what I'm doing. That's kind of what we're doing. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus had just gotten back from the wilderness. He was tempted. He faced Satan, and he resisted him. And notice what happened in verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Say the power of the Spirit. Into Galilee, and there went out fame of him through all that region round about. Isn't it amazing how he didn't get famous until the power came in the scene? He went into the wilderness to be tempted, but he came out with the power of the Spirit. And all of a sudden, he became famous. That power made him famous. Because that power that was working in him produced results. We're talking about God's powerhouse. He never has a blackout. He never has a short circuit. His power is there. His power is available. And his power is awesome. Say, God's power is awesome. Luke, or go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Not only did the power affect Jesus, but it also affected his other believers. Say, I'm a believer. Then you're a candidate for the power to work in you. All you need to do to have the power in you is to believe, or to trust, or to rely on the Lord. That's all you need to do. The power is not just for the minister. It's for the believer. It's for the person who puts their trust in God. That gives you access to his power. It's like an ATM card that has an unlimited amount. You're not limited as to how much you can make a withdrawal with that ATM card. The ATM card is the name of Jesus. When you say the name of Jesus, woo, you connected with that power. There's so much power. Why is it that you could go to a place and you could talk about Muhammad or Buddha and nobody will pay you any mind, but you mention the name of Jesus and people get bent out of shape? When you say a prayer in school in the name of Jesus, woo, they have a fit. Why? What is it about that name? If there wasn't any power to it, why are you so uncomfortable about it? Acts chapter 4, verse 33. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon some of them. It was upon them all. Say all. That means that great grace, great ability, great power was upon Jeremiah. It was upon Elliot. It was upon Julie. It was upon Marianne. It was upon Tosh. It was upon Betty. Great power, great grace was upon them all. It all had to do with the power that was operating. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 8. But you, say me, say I, shall receive power. What is your part in having the power operating in you? Receiving. How many has ever received a gift? All right, let's just do this as an example. Say, Jeremiah, I want to give you my phone. How would you receive it? Say, Jeremiah, I want to give you this phone. How would you receive it? How would you show me how you would receive it? Now, who has it? He does. So the very thing, thank you. That was just an illustration. The only thing you need to do, your part in having the power operating you is simply to receive. When you see a name, or when you see a gift that's wrapped with your name on it, and it turns December 25th, do you just leave that thing in the wrapper? See, now, I grew up opening gifts on December 24th. We would open them at night. So I have to wait an extra day now. But let me tell you, when I see a gift with my name on it and I have access to it, I do not leave that gift wrapped. I unwrap it so that I can use whatever's inside of it. And anytime I get something new, whether it's an item of clothing or something, I always have to use it the next day. I will. If it's clothing, I'll wear it the next day. I won't even wash it. I'll just wear it. I don't care. It's my gift and I'm going to use it. This is how you got to do it with the Holy Spirit. Your part in having the power operating you is to receive. Say, I'm a receiver. And I want you to understand, it's not hard to receive. It's just like receiving a gift. Amen? Now, what can this power do? All right? Let me pull back a little bit before we get to where we can receive it. Let's talk about what it can do. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. This power brings things to life. There used to be a slogan, God is like General Electric. He brings good things to life. And General Electric is a power company, all right? They make jet engines. Many of us probably came in a car tonight. That car has an engine, and it needs fuel, and it needs ignition. But when you have all three, you can, and that power is ignited, it'll make you go, won't it? And the more you hit that gas, the faster you'll go. Okay? So God's power is into creation. It's to create life. That's one of the things that it can do. Look at verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I want you to notice the breath of life is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's breath. Huh. And the man became a living soul. That dirt did not become alive until the breath got into it. But once the breath got into that, it's like a balloon. You could have a balloon, and that balloon is lifeless, but the minute you start breathing into that balloon, it starts expanding. It gets bigger. There's activity. Man did not become alive until the breath came into him. Once God breathed into the man, he became a living soul. Okay? And we know that the Holy Spirit was at creation. He was hovering over the waters. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for God's word to activate life. But the minute that God spoke, the Holy Spirit took his words and brought his words to life. All he needed was God's word to bring to life, to make activity, to make this earth and everything that we see and don't see. All right? Go to John chapter 20. John, the book of John, chapter 20. And look at verse 22. Adam became a living soul when the breath entered him. But Jesus Christ was a life-giving spirit who brings the dead to life. Okay? Adam was a living soul, But Jesus, who's called the second Adam, he brings the dead to life. And in John 20, 22, he met his disciples here. This is after he was risen from the dead. See, Jesus had to be the firstborn from the dead before anybody else could get born again. Okay? And this was after he resurrected, and he said to them, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you." Verse 22, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive the Holy Ghost." This is when they got born again. They became alive to God right there when they received the Spirit of God. Okay? This is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is when they got born again. He spoke them some words, and he breathed on them, which activated the words, and they became a new creature on the inside. All right? The life of God was now in them. They were dead in their sins, and even though they were believers, it was at this point, at this moment, that they became born again. Okay? I just want you to see how the Spirit creates life. Go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37. This is a story that you might be familiar with. It's a story of dry bones. You could have played a drum solo on these bones. They were so dry and rickety. And as he began to prophesy or speak the word of God, the bones came together. The ankle bone connected to the leg bone. The leg bone connected to the hip bone. The hip bone connected to the backbone. Praise the word of the Lord. Look at verse 5 of Ezekiel 37. Okay, these bones were coming together, but they still had no life in them. Verse 5, "Thus says the Lord God unto these bones." Did you know that you can speak to your bones and your bones will hear? If you're having a problem with your bones, change how you talk to them. "I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live." Glory to God. Yeah, these bones were coming together, but they had no life in them. And he said, the breath is going to enter into you. And these bones started to get some life into them. They had some rhythm now. They had a new song to sing. It wasn't until the breath entered them that these bones came alive. Go to John chapter 6. When that breath entered those bones, they began to do a dance. John chapter 6 and verse 63. "It is the Spirit that quickens." Say, the Spirit quickens. That word quicken means to make alive. "The flesh profits nothing." Say, the flesh profits nothing. So that tells me you ought to spend more time developing your spirit than your flesh. Because your flesh really isn't profitable. But the Spirit is. And did you know, when you have a strong spirit, disease and sickness can't really reside in your flesh that much? "It is the Spirit that quickens or makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Woo! Jesus' words, the gospel, are the spirit and his word coming together, and they produce life. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That's why when he said, "Lazarus, come forth," life went into that dead body and brought him forth. Because he was speaking the word and he was speaking by the Spirit. And Lazarus couldn't help but come alive. Go to Psalm 51. What can the powerhouse do for you? He can bring something to life. Something that had been dead for a while. He can bring it to life. Psalm 51. This was the psalm that David wrote after the prophet Nathan came to him and pointed out his sin. And he said in verse 10, create in me. What happens when you create something? You make something that wasn't there before. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, here's what happens. Sin will cause you to die. It'll cause you to be separated from the life of God. So God has to change your heart. He has to take out that heart of stone, and he has to put in there a heart of flesh, one that he can mold and shape and fashion and form. One that's pliable like clay. You know, when you get clay wet, you can fashion it. You can form it. You can shape it. And David was praying because he had sinned against God. And he needed a new heart. And he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. My point is, the Holy Spirit is very much involved in bringing things to life. That's something that he can do. God's powerhouse generates and creates life. It makes things alive. Glory to God. What created Jesus in Mary's womb? How can this be, Lord? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, and something will be created in you. Life will begin in your womb that wasn't there before supernaturally. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that created Jesus in Mary's womb. A life began to form in her. And 9 months later, she had a baby boy. But it was generated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. And that which shall be born in you shall be called the Son of God. That's the power. This is what the powerhouse can do for you. It can create things. Things that you need can be created by the power of God. Things that you desire can be created by the power of God. Things that you want can be created by the power of God. God's got a plan for you. You say, how am I going to do that? Let the power create that in you. When the power begins to work in you, you begin to see things from a different perspective. You begin to do things and you begin to do the impossible. How could God take uneducated fishermen and use them to transform the world by the power of the Holy Spirit? These are uneducated men, but yet I know that they have been with Jesus. Whew. What's another thing that God's powerhouse can do? It can resurrect. It can cause the dead to live again. Go with me to 1 Peter. Chapter 3. Oh, it's getting good now. We've just got off the ski lift and we're about to go down the slope at a high speed. We're about to go around the racetrack. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. He was quickened by the Spirit Romans 8 verse 11 says, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He will quicken your mortal body. He'll make alive your mortal body. If you could be at the tomb when Jesus died, after they laid his body in the tomb, if you could go there within the first 3 days, you would find a lifeless, cold body. You could take his hand, lift it up, and it would fall right back down to its side. It was cold. There was no life in there. You could pick up his hand, and his hand would fall if you could go into the tomb the first 3 days. But something happened on the third day. The Holy Spirit got a hold of that dead, lifeless body, and he quickened it. He made that body that Jesus lived in, that Jesus walked on the earth in, he made that body alive, and that body was risen from the dead to live forevermore. See, the power is so powerful that it's not just, it's a once and done thing. There was so much power, it caused Jesus to live, and he's still living today. He said, I ever live to make intercession for you. That power is so awesome. It creates life and it resurrects the dead. You don't want to get in the way. See, when the power of God comes on you, dead works begin to fall off. See, when that power gets a hold of you, things in your life that were dead begin to come alive and things change. You ever see it? Pretty soon, all of the leaves on our trees will be gone. It will be as if those trees are dead. But really, they're not dead. They're just dormant for a season. But then when spring comes and the weather changes, you're going to see a resurrection. You're going to see buds form on those trees. You're going to see leaves form. They're going to be green. They're going to be vibrant. They're going to be life-giving. And that's what happens. He will quicken. He will vitalize you. He will make alive. He will give life. He will quicken. You need your finances quickened? You need your relationships quickened? You need your family quickened? How about the plan that God has for you? Do you need that quickened in your life? Maybe it's dormant. Maybe it's dead. Maybe it's non-existent. But when the power of God comes in there, it gives you vision. It gives you hope. It gives you a future. It creates in you. It gives you energy. It energizes you. I'm telling you what the powerhouse can do for you. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, God's powerhouse. He creates life. He raises the dead. And then another thing that he does is he performs works. There was a time when John the Baptist was put in prison. John was Jesus' relative. He was born before Jesus so that he could tell the world of Jesus' coming. He stood at the Jordan River and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was baptizing people in water. He was encouraging them to repent. John said, he must increase and I must decrease. But then he spoke against the king. He said, king, what you're doing is wrong. The way you're living is wrong. He confronted evil and he was put in prison for it. And while in prison, John got a little discouraged. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11. You might be a little discouraged too if you announced his coming to the world and things didn't work out like you thought they would. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 1, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, say the works of Christ. See, a powerhouse generates power so that you can work. Isn't it better that you don't have to walk everywhere, that you can drive? It's a lot easier. It's quicker. It's faster. So John heard of these works, and he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? He was really discouraged and confused. Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show. Did you know that God was into show and tell? Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. He's talking about the works that he does by the Spirit of God. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. John was getting a little bit offended. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does is he performs the works of the gospel. The healings, the deliverances, the freedoms, the setting things right, it's all done by the Holy Spirit. Do you think that my preaching alone would get people saved? Come on, give me a break. It wouldn't. But I don't do this alone. There is a force that is working in me and with me to add power to what I'm saying. And that power, he goes into your heart and he touches the person's heart, and only the Holy Spirit can touch a person's heart. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the people were touched in their heart. They were cut to the heart and they said, what must we do to be saved? The Philippian jailer, when the earthquake came, he rushed in and he was going to kill himself. And Paul said, don't kill yourself, we're all here. And he said, what must I do to be saved? He was so cut to the heart. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that touched that man's heart. So Jesus said, the works testify of me. The works tell you, don't believe me, but believe the works' sake about me. So the Holy Spirit, he performs the works. And you know what? He said, the works that I do, you can do also. Why? Because we have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The same Spirit. If you have the same Spirit, you can do the same works. Because the Spirit is the one who does the works. So you can do the same works as Jesus did. Because it's the same Spirit. Okay? Now go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 1. This was the most awesome display of the Holy Spirit, because this is when he came on everybody. You know, when you're about to do something big, you want to do a grand entrance. Amen? You know, the red carpet at the Grammys can't even compare to the day of Pentecost. This was so great. This was so awesome. 120 people were gathered. We could fit 120 people in this building and more. Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, this was the time that God designed for him to pour out his Spirit on all. This was the moment that he was going to fulfill what Joel spoke many, many years before. The day of Pentecost was fully come. It had arrived. And they were all with one accord in one place. Say, one place. One place. We're in one place tonight. And hopefully you're in one accord. You came in agreement. You came expecting. And you're ready to receive the power that God wants you to have. Listen, God doesn't have all this power just for himself. He wants to share it with you. That's the kind of God we serve. He wants you to have his power. He wants to give a portion of his power to you. See, now Jesus, he had the Spirit without measure. But each one of us have a measure of the Spirit. But the body of Christ as a whole has the Spirit without measure. But individually, we have a measure of the Spirit. If you had the Spirit without measure, you wouldn't even be able to handle it. Because our flesh is unregenerate. Jesus never sinned. We have, so there's sin in our flesh. Your spirit is born again, but you got to keep your flesh under. At any given time, you could choose to let your flesh get out of control. It's called carnal, being carnal. Chili con carne, that's chili with meat. It's talking about the flesh. So if you had the Spirit without measure, it would destroy you. Jesus was perfect, never sinned. So sin wasn't in his flesh. So he could handle the Spirit without measure. Verse 2, suddenly, I love that word. When God comes, there's times when it's suddenly, it's explosive, it's powerful, it's bam, it's immediately, it's right there. This was a suddenly moment. You can't pray for suddenlies, but when you come, just enjoy them. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I want you to consider these words. Consider these words. There was a strong wind. There was a loud noise. And there was fire. When you expect the space shuttle to take off, you expect there be to a lot of power to get it up in the air. If you were at space, if you were at Cape Canaveral, and if you were to see a launch of the space shuttle, you see an explosion, and you see fire and smoke, and there's enough thrust to get that space shuttle in the air. There was more power on the day of Pentecost that gets that space shuttle in the air. There was more explosive power on the day of Pentecost than there was that comes out of the space shuttle to get it up in the air. It came suddenly. There was a loud sound from heaven. Think about it. It didn't come from earth. He came down, crashing down. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. They weren't even standing. You can get filled with the Holy Spirit sitting. Say amen. Say I can get filled with the Holy Spirit right here in my seat. They were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire. So I want you just to get this picture. It looked like a flame sitting right above their heads. This flame was moving. You know how flame, you see, if you watch fire, it kind of dances, you know. And there was this fire. Everybody could see the fire on each other's heads. It was right there. And see, with fire comes power. It's a resemblance of power. God's powerhouse is the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled. Say, they were all filled. Say, they were all filled. Say it again. Say, they were all filled. One more time. Say, they were all filled. Not one of them was left out. They didn't have to strive for it. All they had to do was what? Receive. It's like someone giving you a surprise party. And you walk in, and all you got to do is receive it. I don't care if you like it or not, just receive it. Put a smile on your face and receive the surprise party. Just receive it. Praise the Lord. Thank you. I'm so shocked. Just receive. Don't put on a big show. Oh, you shouldn't have had to do that, Lord. I didn't want you to surprise me that way, Lord. Why? The Lord loves surprises. He's a creator. Let him surprise you if he wants to. In your seat. Boy, that'll blow tradition out of the water, wouldn't it? You don't have to even come up to get filled. You can get filled right there in your seat as long as you receive. All you got to do is receive and believe. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, with the powerhouse, with the power generator. They were all filled with the same thing. But he's not a thing, he's a person. They were all filled with the same person, the same substance. This was the same Spirit that was there on Resurrection Day. They now had resurrection power flowing through their veins. They now had creative power flowing through their veins. They now had power to change things flowing through their veins. And began to speak. Whenever there's power, there has to be an outlet. Otherwise, there's an explosion. See, when the power came in them, they began to speak with other tongues. Just say languages. Don't get messed up on the tongues part. All that is other languages. And don't you think the person who created your mouth, don't you think he can allow you to speak a language you never studied or learned? He gives you a divine language, a heavenly language. It's one that you've never studied, that you never learned. It just came as a result of him being in there. Okay? What happens when you shake up a 2-liter bottle of Coca-Cola and you take the lid off? What's going to happen? Okay? What happens when you take a sparkling cider and you shake it up and you open? What's going to happen? See? The Holy Spirit is that stuff that when he shakes you, something's got to come out. You can't help but have something come out when the Holy Spirit shakes you. He's going to shake, rattle, and roll till something comes out. Let him shake you. Let him stir you up. Let him shake you and let him take the lid off. Don't put the lid on him. They spoke. Say the people spoke. But the Spirit gave them the utterance. Say, he gave them the utterance. In other words, he gave them what to say. Jeremiah, I want you to say hello. I want you to say, I love God. I want you to say, God is awesome. I was giving him words, but he was doing the speaking. Right? I didn't make him speak, did I? I didn't take control over his mouth like a puppet. I simply gave him the utterance, the ability to speak, but he was the one that spoke. See, when you allow yourself to speak, you're taking the lid off. He gave them the utterance, the ability, but they had to do the speaking. But they didn't know what they were saying. Verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded or amazed because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were speaking known languages because at this particular time, there were people from all other nations in Jerusalem. Okay? And they were speaking Italian. They were speaking Greek. They were speaking Arabic. If you read some of the nations that were listed there, these people from one area were speaking a language from another area that they never learned, but were supernaturally enabled to speak because power came into them. The main focus of the Holy Spirit is power. The result of that power coming into you will be speaking. You can look at it in other places, Acts 10 and Acts chapter 19. People spoke with other tongues when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. What is your part in being filled with the Holy Spirit? All right, let's go over that again. My part is to receive and believe. Say, receiving is simple. Say, I can receive that. Say, God wants me to have it. So it's mine, and I'm going to get it. It's that simple. Don't let your mind talk you out of how simple it is. See, your mind gets in the way. Well, I don't think it. Oh, just hush. Just receive. That means Don't say anything else. Just receive and speak whatever comes out. Don't think about what comes out, because your mind's going to be saying, what are you saying? I don't know, but it feels so good. So, you've seen some things that this powerhouse can do. He creates life. He raises the dead. And he empowers you to be a witness. He gives you everything you need, every tool, every piece of equipment that you need to be a witness. You have no excuse. You cannot say to the Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, but you didn't give me the ability to be a witness. No. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be a witness. The whole purpose of God's powerhouse is power. The result of that power coming in you is speaking something that you never studied or you've never learned. It just comes out just like the Coca-Cola, or just like the sparkling cider, or just like any carbonated beverage. The Holy Spirit is like the carbonation. All right? It's inside the bottle. And when that bottle gets shook up, what's inside is going to come out. So you got to take the lid off. Amen? Now, if you're here tonight and you need this power and you want this power, I just simply want you to believe and to receive right now in Jesus' name. Father, we just give you thanks and praise that your power is real, it is genuine, and it is awesome, Father. And I ask you right now to fill everyone in Jesus' name with the Holy Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. Father, right now, in Jesus' name. O rabaka sandara baka satira mama mama. O rabaka sandara baruto kasandara marabaka satiyanda la mama. And if you just need help receiving, you can come up right here and I want to just help you receive, because there were other times that hands were laid on them and they received, okay? So if you just need help receiving, just come on up right now. It's like coming up to a fountain and drinking some water, okay? So just, if you need help receiving, just come on up right now in Jesus' name. But the Holy Ghost is here. Hallelujah. The power of God is here. He's here to bring to life. He's here to resurrect. And even if doesn't matter how old you are, if you need help receiving, just come on up and receive. It's like receiving a gift. It's like getting a drink of water. It's like getting into a car and having that car take you where you need to go. So if you need help receiving, just come on up, and I just want to lay my hands on you, and the Lord will help you. Amen. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, Father God, I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit and your power. I thank you that you want me to have your power. You give it to me freely, and I receive it. I take it as mine. I take ownership of it. And I thank you for it. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that's working in me right now. In Jesus' name, I receive. Say, Father God, have your way in me. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Just give them some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for filling this place. Thank you, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. need to come up. Come on. God is stirring up the waters in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord. We magnify you. We bless your holy name, Lord God. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Is anything happening with anybody? Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost all at the same time. And I was 12 years old. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Now, Andrew, if I wanted to give you this pen, how would you take it? Now, who has it? Exactly. That's exactly how you receive the Holy Spirit. Was that hard? It's the same way. Okay? So, Father, right now, I just thank you, Lord, for filling Andrew full of your Holy Ghost right now and your power in Jesus' name. Create in him, resurrect in him, Father. Release your power right now. Robo kasanda. Receive ye the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. O marabata kasata rabaraba kasuta. Ki rabata kasuta robo kasata la mama. Shoot robo kasata la mama. I ramama babada kosondo robo rata kasata la mama. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, right now. Oh, Father, that power is operating in him. Hallelujah. Sometimes when they were filled, they prophesied. Sometimes they spoke in tongues. Lord, hallelujah. But oh, thank you, Lord. There's going to be an outlet. There is going to be an outlet. Thank you, Lord, that out of his belly is flowing right now rivers of living water. Father, out of his belly is flowing rivers of living water. Father, and I just thank you, Lord, right now. You're creating, Father. You're creating and resurrecting in him in the name of Jesus. Creating and resurrecting in him, Father, right now. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that your power is just flowing mightily in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Don't try to... Anybody else? Hallelujah. We're letting the power work. Amen. God is good. He'll never give you anything bad. And the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he immerses you. You know? What's going on? God wants his church full of power because there is an enemy who operates in the realm of darkness, but the Holy Spirit is greater and his power will help you live the Christian life. How far do you think you'd get if your gas tank was on E? You know, my dad used to say, it can go on fumes. Well, you ain't gonna get too far on fumes, I'll tell you that. But you need to keep your tank full. And after you get full of the Holy Spirit, you got to keep yourself full by speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What's a spiritual song? It's a song that the Holy Spirit gives you. You don't know the words, but all of a sudden these words come to you. You know? I remember one time when my pastor in Tennessee said, Doug, I want you to come and lead the people singing in the Spirit. I knew that was God. Because I'm not a singer. And what happened? I just got up there and led the people singing in the Spirit. I didn't, you know, you just kind of let it go. How many is, you know, when you have a hose and you turn the water on, but the water doesn't come out until you squeeze, right? Well, that's how the Holy Spirit is. He's got all the pressure there, but you just got to kind of squeeze and then it just comes out. Amen? But I don't even have time tonight to tell you the benefits of tongues, maybe next time, but it's such a useful thing that we can do. It has a purpose. And praying in tongues, it's a way that you can get spiritually energized and charged. It's beneficial to your life. It's a way that you can talk to God and the devil can't understand what you're saying. Because the devil can't speak in tongues because he lost his connection. He got cut off, amen? Because he didn't pay his bill and he got cut off. So his service is no longer in operation. But we are connected to the Father. Amen? And remember, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. He's to help you in life, and he'll give you understanding about the Bible. When you understand something, say, Holy Spirit, can you show me what this is? Tell me what you're talking about. And there's so many facets to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you know, if I don't go away, he's not going to come. So it's necessary that I go so that he can come. And thank God he's here now. Amen? Amen. We don't have to say, Holy Spirit, come. He's already here. He's already here. He's already been poured out on this earth. Then you just got to work with him and allow him to work in you. Amen? But remember, God's powerhouse, it generates life, it resurrects the dead, and it performs the works. And he gives you the ability to be a witness. Amen? And I only touched on a few things tonight, but Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you would seal this word in our hearts. And even as we leave this building tonight, your word will continue to work in us, Father, and it'll get more vibrant and more fluent in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great night.